In the Gospel according to Luke chapter 2, we may read again at verse 15. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known. After the city of Nazareth into Judea, and to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. This was according to the appointment of God, and had been prophesied concerning Christ, that he would be born in Bethlehem, the city of David. As we read in Matthew, when Herod desired of the scribes, or demanded of the scribes and chief priests where Christ should be born, they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou Bethlehem in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, but out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. So that we see how there is appeal within appeal, appeals of providence moving towards the fulfillment of the word of God. But in endeavoring to say a little as enabled upon the words before us, we would like first of all to say something concerning what had been made known to them. As we have it here, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And then, secondly, a little concerning their obedience. We find them saying one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And then, thirdly, a little concerning their reward, what we might call their reward. And there is a reward of grace for those who obey the word of God. First of all, and a little concerning what had been made known unto them. And we notice that they speak of this as being made known to them by the Lord, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they would ascribe the glory of what had been revealed to them to the Lord, to whom the glory was due. And it is clear from the Word of God that all saving good is from the Lord. The Lord used at this time the ministry of angels, as he at times uses the ministry of men, for the blessing of poor sinners, that is, as instruments, but the blessing must come from the Lord. It is the Holy Spirit alone who can bless the Word of God effectually to the salvation of any man. And while they therefore received what they received through the ministry of angels, they acknowledged that it was from the Lord. And God is a jealous God, and he will not give his glory to another, nor his praise to graven images. And we certainly can see here, we believe, the sovereignty of God in making known to these shepherds these good tidings of great joy. The shepherds, no doubt, were about their lawful calling. They were concerned about the sheep. They were watching their sheep by night, and while they were thus engaged, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And that, no doubt, should teach us, among other things, that God is no respecter of persons, and that God is not confined to any one place, and that God acts according to his sovereign good pleasure and to the glory of his name, the glory of his grace. And therefore it was according to the good pleasure of God that the angel of God should make this known to the shepherds as they tended their flock. And we also would say that we learn from this that the darkness and the light are both alike to him. Darkness hideth not from thee, but night doth shine as day. To thee the darkness and the light are both alike always. And even in the night watches we find the psalmist meditating upon the Word of God, the wonders of God's law. And therefore, as we have it here, while they were watching over their flock, by night, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. Certainly we believe that as those who loved God's blessed name, they were waiting for the consolation of Israel, as surely as Simeon was, and they looked for redemption, as surely as Anna and others did. And they were looking forward by faith to the coming of the Messiah. And while it was true that they would desire to meditate upon the things that pertain to the glory of God, it would appear that this took place suddenly, that the Lord in his great goodness revealed these good tidings to them. And how that should cause us to wait upon the Lord and believe that the Lord is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Who would have said that this was in the purpose of God, that this was according to a divine decree, that the shepherds should hear this message from heaven conveyed to them by an angel from the very presence of God? And yet, such was the case. And would we not also feel that when Jacob left his father's house, that when he lay down to sleep there at last, do you think that he expected such a visit from heaven, such a revelation of the glory of God? But he had to say on awakening, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God and the very gate of heaven. And whatever experiences we may have had in the past of the goodness of the Lord, however touched we may have been by undeserved mercy, unmerited favor, yet may grace be given to us to wait with expectation upon the Lord. For how great is the goodness thou for them that fear thee keepst in store, and what for them that trust in thee, the sons of men, before. There is a fullness of grace and of truth in Christ. There is an infinite fullness in the everlasting covenant. And therefore, may we be seeking a blessing from the Lord. You find the psalmist, for example, speaking or saying in one psalm, Psalm 23, my cup runneth over. There were other times when he drank out of the wells of salvation and he praised the Lord for his goodness. But here you find him saying, my cup runneth over. And so with regard to the shepherds here, in tending their flocks by night, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. The glory of the Lord attended the messenger of the Lord. And they were sore afraid, and how often we come across that in the Word of God. How, when such a revelation is given, or when there is a manifestation of the glory of God, those who receive such a manifestation are greatly afraid. You remember when Isaiah had a vision of Christ's glory in the temple? He cried out, woe is me, for I am undone, for I am a man of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And you remember how, when the Lord appeared to John in Patmos, how John was greatly afraid, and how the Savior himself comforted his servant. And here we have the angel saying to them, fear not. You find the angel saying to the women of the grave, fear not, for I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified. And you find Christ saying to his disciples, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And in the Old Testament, we find these words, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, thou art mine. How precious is the grace of God. And may we be realizing that through the teaching of God the Holy Spirit. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. The time had come when the Savior of the world was born in Bethlehem according to the promise of God. the promises which he had given to the fathers, according to that promise that he gave in the Garden of Eden, that the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent. And now the fullness of time had come, and God had sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. What a marvelous revelation that is, of the wondrous love of a triune God to a lost and perishing world. We find Gabriel sent by the Lord to Mary, saying to her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." And now the time had come when the Son of God was born into the world, and according to the command of God, let all the angels of God worship him. We find a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." "Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." What an honor was conferred upon this angel to convey such tidings to sinners of mankind. What words can express the wonder of it? It is worthy of God. Now clear it is that this was not something conceived by man or angel. For this angel says, "Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." He was a messenger of God, from the very presence of God, for the angels are round about the throne of God and of the Lamb, and this messenger had been sent by God to bring these good tidings of great joy to sinners of mankind. "Behold, I bring you good tidings." And how good they are, and how good they were in the experience of these shepherds, and how good they were in the experience of all who came to know the Lord, all who realized they were sinners by nature and by practice, and that they needed the salvation of God, that they needed a divine Savior. Good tidings, the very best tidings that the shepherds could hear. Out of the infinite and eternal love of God, God declaring his name or making known the riches of his grace. And little wonder, although the angels of his presence rejoice, little wonder, although they in looking into these things that God prepared for them at Laban. Little wonder when they were unable to look into these things which God prepared for poor sinners, that they would rejoice, that they would praise God. And is it not a sad reflection upon our spiritual condition that we are not disposed to praise the Lord? You are here today and you have never yet praised the Lord for His goodness. You have never yet gloried in Christ. You see no beauty in Him that you should desire Him. Behold, I bring you good tidings. Good tidings of great joy. Something that causes rejoicing in heaven. And we would say that God is here rejoicing over His church with singing, delighting to reveal Himself as a God full of grace and of truth. He is magnifying His name. He is revealing His glory, making known His glory in the person of His Son, in the fulfillment of His word. His gracious purposes with regard to the coming of His Son being fulfilled. As you know yourselves, there are times when tidings or news, that when tidings bring sorrow, they are sorrowful tidings. Tidings that might make us afraid, cause trembling. You see, here we have good tidings from heaven, from a far country, from the very throne of God, a proclamation made by the King of Glory concerning the birth of His Son. And surely sinners will reverence His Son. Surely they will give to Him the glory that is His due. Proclamation of grace, of mercy, of truth, of kindness, and of love. I bring, as a faithful servant, as a messenger of the King, and with what alacrity and delight He comes to bring these good tidings to sinners, to these shepherds, as they were tending their flock by night. And do we not see here not only the sovereignty of divine love, not only the sovereignty of grace, but the power of the Lord? No power could hinder the coming of this messenger. All the forces of evil could not turn him aside. He had come in the name of God. He had come as a messenger, as a ministering spirit, to minister to those who shall be heirs of salvation. And right down through the history of redemption, the revelation that God has given of His name, of His grace to the children of men, this is distinctly seen, how He when and as it pleases him, makes himself known to sinners, and none can hinder him, none can thwart the purposes of God, none can render null and void the covenant of grace, ordered in all things and sure, and ratified to all eternity by the blood of the Lamb of God. Sometimes we may feel that on account of the pressures of the age, we may feel ourselves so busy in the world that we might feel that we have no time to attend to the things that pertain to the glory of God and that belong to our everlasting peace. That the Lord will bring his people aside, he will bring aside those for whom he has a purpose and mercy. He will bring them aside, and he will deal with them in his grace and in his mercy. Moses must learn discipline, Moses must learn much, and the Lord will make it possible for Moses to learn what the Lord would have him learn, and so on, and so here as well. Satan would, if he could, hinder the passage of this messenger of God, this angel of life, this ministering spirit, that Satan and all his hosts could not hinder this angel, and they could not silence him. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, Jews and Gentiles alike, those who were near and those who were then afar off, those within the commonwealth of Israel and those who were till then strangers and foreigners and without or outside the pale of the visible church. And to you is the word of this salvation sent. And to you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. And what rejoicing there was in heaven that day, what gladness, what joy unspeakable and full of glory. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And while we do not intend to remain on this part much longer, yet I would like to say to those who know not the Lord, you see, there is not only the tendency, but it's something that is fixed in the minds of people, that the salvation that is in Christ Jesus, that vital godliness, that worshipping the Lord in spirit and in truth, can afford no joy, that those who are bound by the word of God and those who are indebted to Christ for his grace and for salvation, that they live a morose and unhappy life. But we read in the word of God of peace and joy in believing. Oh, greatly blessed the people are, the joyful sound that know, in brightness of thy face, O Lord, they ever on shall go. Good tidings of great joy, not a message indicating the day of execution, Oh, that change in the government of God. Oh, that God must change in order to accommodate the sinful inclinations and lusts of wicked men. His throne is forever and ever. His throne is stable and sure. And the salvation that is in Christ Jesus is an everlasting salvation, conceived by a God of infinite love and mercy, and at the same time by a God of infinite righteousness and holiness. A God who loves righteousness and hates iniquity. And if your heart never rejoices in that God is such a God, you are still a stranger to grace and to God. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. For unto you, poor, hell deserving, vile sinners, unto you is this gift given, God's unspeakable gift. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have eternal life. And here we have the Son of God, born in Bethlehem of Judea, according to the appointment of God in the fullness of time. And with respect to this, or with regard to this, the Son of God said, as he said, with regard to all else that he did in working out salvation in the earth, in glorifying God, in fulfilling the work which was given him to do thy will I take, Elaine, O thou my God that art, yea, that most holy law of thine I have within my heart. And if you are here today and you think that there was any unwillingness on the part of Christ to come in God's great name to save, banish that thought from your mind. But as you know, as to his eternal Godhead, God the Son is a co-equal of God the Father and God the Holy Ghost. Three persons in the one undivided Godhead. And here we have brought before us the mystery of godliness, God manifest in the flesh, God the Son in infinite condescension and voluntarily taking to himself our very nature in the womb of the Virgin Mary, uniting our nature to his divine person in an indissoluble union. This union will not be dissolved world without end throughout all eternity. He will be the Lamb in the midst of the throne, the Lamb that was slain. For For unto you is born this day, this very day. And the angel would have them know this. And then, how wonderful is the grace of God. Did the Lord ever condescend to make things known to you that none other could make known to you? Did the Lord speak to you in such a personal way that you had to say that you were the person addressed by the Lord? As surely as David knew that he was the person addressed by Nathan when Nathan said to him, "Thou art the man." Things that the Lord made known unto you, which the Spirit of God made known unto you, concerning your sinnership, concerning your need of salvation, as we have it there in the Shorter Catechism concerning effectual calling. The Holy Spirit convincing of sin, enlightening the mind in the knowledge of Christ, renewing the will and persuading the sinner to embrace and enabling the sinner also to embrace Christ as he is freely offered in the gospel. And has he made known to you other things as well in the process of sanctification? By his sanctifying grace giving you to see more and more the wonder of redeeming love, more and more the preciousness of a divine Savior, the all-sufficiency of Christ, the all-suitability of the Savior. Have you been by the Holy Spirit led into the truth as it is in Jesus? For unto you is born this day in the city of David, not a way out in some inaccessible place, but in the very place which the Lord in his infinite love and mercy, in his infinite wisdom had appointed. Near at hand, a place known to the shepherds, a place available to them or accessible to them. And it was according to the Word of God, a Savior, a divine Savior, a divine Redeemer, the anointed Savior, the Messiah, the Christ of God, spoken of here, which is Christ the Lord, the one who was anointed with the oil of gladness above his lungs, was anointed with the Holy Ghost above measure, to fulfill the purposes of God in the eternal redemption of his people. A Savior. Ah, friend, that must have gladdened the hearts of the shepherds. See, we might be gladdened in a certain way by certain tidings. I'm sure that people who are suffering famine, if they hear of relief coming to them, even if it were only the possibility of adequate relief in time, they would embrace these tidings. And also with regard to other matters. A person anxious about a loved one. If one heard that there was good hope of his recovery, how that would be fitted to cause joy. But you see here, a Savior. A Savior from sin. A Savior who is God in our nature. A divine Savior. One sent in God's great name to save. Having this end in view, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Tidings, good tidings of reconciliation through the obedience and sufferings and death of the Lord of glory. Tidings of a perfect righteousness wrought out by the Savior. Tidings concerning justice being satisfied, the law magnified, and mercy flowing forth through the wounds of a crucified Redeemer. Mercy flowing forth in the way of the covenant of grace. And we must bear that in mind. There is no mercy for us but through Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. It is in Christ that the mercy of God flows freely to sinners of mankind. And therefore we are commanded, we are called upon to believe in Him for salvation, to repent and to believe the gospel. And this shall be a sign unto you. Oh, how intimate is the knowledge of God. There was Mary wrapping her newborn son in swaddling clothes and placing him in the manger. There's no room for him in the inn. Possibly what any mother would do, wrapping him in swaddling clothes. He lies in the manger there. And this is taken note of in heaven. Things that may seem to us ordinary, things with which we are familiar, are known in heaven, and they may be regarded in such a way as we have certainly in the Word of God. But even as we heard last night, a cup of cold water will not go unrewarded. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe. No hesitation. It's not something that may take place, but ye shall find the babe. This shall be a sign unto you. And are you today desiring a token for good, saying, show me a sign for good? Well, this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, in the city of David, in Bethlehem of Judea, in the very place that the Lord ordained. It's all according to divine appointment. And what the Lord does, He does well, speaking with reverence. Yea, what is good, the Lord shall give. And how great is His goodness as it is revealed here. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. You have the excellency of the divine name, the glory of the divine Savior revealed, just as we had it there. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. But this will try your faith. You shall have a sign, an infallible sign, a God-given sign. a sign from heaven. You shall find a babe, an infant of days, and yet the Lord of glory. A child born, and yet a son given. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And we find that the shepherds were not disobedient. The angel who first gave them the message was then accompanied by a multitude of the heavenly hosts, as it were, confirming the word that the elder angel had made known. And I would like to say this also. The perfect harmony, the concord, the unison with which they sang this song. And how solemn it is to think that we should be in any way indifferent, that we should not know the song of the redeemed, that we should not be among those who sing the song of praise unto the Lord. The angels were singing, a multitude of the heavenly host, and they did not think it, speaking in that way, they did not think it a waste of time. The blessedness consists in this, that they are kept in the love and service of God. And you here today who fear the Lord, have the promise of being kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. And when these shepherds hear these tidings of great joy, their hearts are touched. And you find here the response of faith, faith of the operation of God the Holy Spirit. And they say one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass. Of this we are assured on the authority of God. And if you are a believer, you accept the word of God and the authority of God speaking in his word. And they accepted what they received from heaven on the authority of God, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And therefore, let us now go even unto Bethlehem, according to his word. He has promised, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And therefore, let us now, and possibly, leave the sheep in the Lord's care in these extraordinary circumstances. For the Lord was calling them to go to Bethlehem to see this wonderful sign. And no doubt they were being drawn to Bethlehem also by the secret working of God the Holy Spirit in their hearts. And probably they had something on the experience of the two disciples on their way to Emmaus, of whom we read that their hearts burned within them while he talked with them by the way, and when he opened to them the scriptures. Let us go, and there again we would say that we have the communion of saints. It's not, I'll go and you can remain at home or attend to the flock. I'll go. I am far more able to discern this babe and the glory of God and the person of Christ. And therefore, you do not need to go. But it's, let us go. I joy went to the house of God. Go up, they said to me. Behold, how good a thing it is and how becoming well to gather such as brethren are in unity to dwell. And we are commanded by the Lord to ascend the Mount of Ordinances, and in the mountain of the Lord it shall be seen what the Lord has done, what the Lord can do, for his arm is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. He is a promise-keeping God, a covenant-keeping God, and has he said it, and will he not do it? Let us therefore keep the feast according to Christ's own appointment. Not with the leaven of malice and hypocrisy, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Let us go to the very place that the Lord has appointed. And ye shall find the babe, wrapped in swaddling clothes, and lying in a manger. But what we are concerned about now is that we are called upon to remember the dying love of the Blessed Redeemer. This babe could not show them his hands and his feet pierced. That was yet to come, when he would be a full-grown man, when he could say and did say, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. And as he said to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and put it into the prints of the nails in my hands and my feet. And he showed his side. And he asked Thomas to thrust his hand into his side. And be not faithless, but believe. Now, we know that oftentimes the Lord's people are cast down through manifold temptations. And they might be saying to themselves, how unworthy I am, how sinful I am, how polluted I am, how unlike I am to the people of God. Oh, if only I were more ready for the peace. And we must not excuse ourselves or others in sloth. But you think of how dishonoring to God it would have been, and how injurious to the shepherds it would have been if they were saying, oh, we are far too unworthy to be the first, as it were, to hear the song of the angels. And we are far too unworthy to go up to Bethlehem to see this sight, which the Lord hath made known unto us. We would say that that was very dishonoring to the Lord. Ye shall find the babe, and it is all of grace. It is the doing of the Lord, and wondrous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord hath made, and thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Here is the Lord opening up, as it were, his bowels of compassion, his heart of love, making known the riches of his grace, and you'll find that holy child wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Not where the worldly wise would look for him, but you must seek him, and seek him in his instituted means, or his ordinances, the ordinances of his own appointment, in the Word, sacraments, and prayer. And tomorrow, the Lord willing, the Lord's people will sit down with himself at the table, partaking of the symbols of his broken body and shed blood according to his dying command. This do in remembrance of me. Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. But as often as eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Let us now, the time has come. Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And coming to the last part, according to his promise, and the Lord has promised to make crooked things straight and rough places plain. He made it as a straight way before their face, to go to Bethlehem, to the very place where Jesus, the Savior, was lying in a manger. The Lord from heaven, the second Adam, and they no doubt discern in their own measure the glory of God in this tender infant, just as Simeon did in the temple when he said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And is the sacrament of the supper not far the establishing of his people in a life of holiness? Is it not for their encouragement, for their nourishment and growth in grace? Is it not one of the seals of the everlasting covenant? And as they went up in accordance with the mind of the Lord, and as directed by the Lord himself through the ministry of the angels, or the angels, so let the people of God go up to the Mount of Ordinances to commemorate the death of the Lord of Glory. They were not disappointed. They went. Others would be disappointed with this, speaking in that way, this band. Oh, how little, how insignificant the Lord of Glory would appear to the worldly wise and to the carnal mind, but to the shepherds, endued with power from on high to discern the glory of the uncreated God in the person of the Son, in human nature, he was to them all their salvation and all their desire, and that is very clearly revealed in what we have here. And when they had seen it, and they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the same which was told them concerning this child, and all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. The shepherds had good news to tell concerning the eternal God and the salvation that is in Christ Jesus the Lord. Salvation for sinners, the very chief of sinners. And all they had heard it wondered at those things which had told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it